Well, welcome, you guys. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chloe Ballatore. I'm a relationship and communication expert. I'm a graduate of Princeton University and Pat Allen's Want Institute, and I was mentored by Pat Allen. So I use the tools that she taught me of androgynous semantic realignment, also known as ASR. I use tools of transactional analysis as created by Eric Byrne, and I use the tools that I've created myself because I've been doing this for over 10 years now. I've also written 4 books on this work. And those are all available on Amazon. The first book, How to Live, Find Love, and Keep It. Oh, I'm going to put these in the chat. That one is the guidebook to this work. So if you like what you're hearing and you want to read more about the underpinnings and the basics of these tools, that's the one to check out. But I have my second book is The New Ways of Being, The Pain of Change. And that's all about making changes, because even when you're making changes for the better, you will go through pain. And I think that's one of the least explored aspects of psychological and spiritual work, is that change of any type is inherently painful. And so unfortunately, what happens for people a lot of the time is they start making changes, it becomes painful. And then they want to stop making changes. And then that ends up setting you back. So it's nice to know that there will be pain along the way, just so that you don't think something needs to then change again, right? Pain is a sign that change needs to take place, or that change is already taking place. And then Secrets to a Good Marriage is my third book, because I've been married for, well, let's see now, almost 23 years. So I found this work about halfway through my marriage when it was struggling, and I was just really unhappy with my life. I wasn't really sure why. And ultimately, from doing this work, I was able to discover what was holding me back. And I thought I was pretty good. I thought I was pretty self-actualized and kind of like already arrived. So this was a shock to me. But again, I was very unhappy and I didn't know why. I saw an incredible result in someone I knew who was doing this work and had been doing it for a few years. And when I saw that, that's what convinced me into doing the work myself. Because I wasn't real interested in going to therapy again. And Pat is a therapist, because in my experience, and I've been in and out of therapy since I was a kid, you go, you tell someone your problems, and it's nice to be heard and listened to, but nothing really ever changes. And so to me, it started to feel like a colossal waste of time. This work is different in that you really will see results. It's very result oriented. So it's not just a place where you're going to talk about some things and people are going to go, "Oh, poor baby." And then you're going to feel good or better in the moment, but nothing will really change. I like to give homework. I like to provoke catharsis. That is how you learn. That is how you change. You have to take counteractions to your childhood scripting. And one of the things that I realized when I started doing this work was that my relationship with my mother was ruining my marriage. And I hadn't really been able to put that together. I had thought consciously that I had married someone who was very different from my parents, and I did. But nevertheless, I was still holding on to a lot of patterns of sabotage, and specifically of self-sabotage. So that is pretty common when we see problems in intimate relationships. They're almost always stemming from childhood scripting. And childhood scripting refers to the narrative that we tell ourselves when we're little to help us get through life with people who control us. And whether those people were well-meaning or ill-meaning, they most likely, especially if you're in this room, caused us trauma. And so we need to basically process all those childhood feelings, all that childhood trauma, so that it doesn't end up in our adult lives. Because what happens is we take all those strategies that we learned in childhood on how to survive and get along. But those strategies often came at the sacrifice of our own authenticity. And then when we go into our adult life and we try to attach to people using those same strategies, we find that we're selling ourselves out in a way. Because when we're children, we need those people who own the refrigerator to feed us. We need those people to drive us to school. When we're grown-ups, we don't need to adapt in the same way. So the great thing about becoming a grown-up is you can become your authentic self, right? Because you are ultimately self-sufficient and you're not a dependent human infant. But again, as I said, without awareness, without consciousness, without knowing, if the mind can't think it and the mouth can't speak it, then all those patterns and all that trauma will stay buried and ultimately manifest as disease. So yes, everybody dies. But do you have to get sick and die? Do you have to die in a very painful way? No. If you don't understand your script, if you don't, as my mentor, Dr. Pat, would say, if you don't get your script will get you. So life will end up kicking you in the ass, ultimately, if you just ignore all the lessons that it's teaching you. And so that's what else I help people with. And again, primarily when we see problems in intimate relationships, this is what we're dealing with. Now, successful relationships are characterized by what I call the three C's: chemistry, compatibility, and communication. Chemistry is a gift from God. You either have it or you don't have it, right? You can have chemistry for people that aren't good for you. Usually, you know that right away. It can't be worked on too much. Sometimes women will take a little time to warm up to chemistry for a man. Usually, men know right away. But it's hard to work on chemistry. Compatibility is, do you want the same things? And is one person in the yin energy and one person in the yang energy? And that you can work on a little bit, but not a ton. Because ultimately you want what you want, right? Your authentic energy is your authentic energy. And then the third, communication, that's what we can really make headway with. And that's where a lot of relationship problems come from. So that's what we really focus on here. The scholarship that this work is based on is very, very established. I'll give a brief introduction of that, and then I'm going to take your questions. And then that's when you'll get to see the tools. And the tools of this work are what are very unique and innovative. And it's really good to be able to see the tools in the context of your questions, because then we get to, in a limited way tonight, because it's just an hour, but marry some of the theories with some of your life experiences. We get much, much deeper into that in private sessions. I work with men, I work with women, I work with couples, I work with teenagers, and we get much more into that in the module packages that I teach, which I basically teach my first two books. And if you want to sign up for those, I'm doing a module two live starting Saturday. But all the modules are also available asynchronously. So if you don't want to be in a small private group with a couple other people and you want to just look at the lectures on your own and then meet separately, or we can even do it all online, that is also working really, really well. I'm actually working with a client right now overseas, and it's going beautifully. Okay. So this work is based on the balance of feminine and masculine energy. And there's a lot of misunderstanding about feminine and masculine, so I'll give a brief description, definition of those energies. All of us are both. All of us are both feminine and masculine. All of us have a right side of our brain that is the yin or more feminine energy, that is the world of feelings. It's the world of magic, creativity, sensuality, sexuality. It's receptive energy. It's passive, patient, vulnerable, spirituality. Yin energy is in the world to make it fun, but it's not of the world. It's ethereal, it's like air. And then all of us have that left brain and that single-mindedness, right? This is the world of the yang energy. Yang energy is very much of the world. It's competing, conquering, controlling, giving, taking care of, achieving. We're in our yang energy, all of us, when we're at work, because that's all about doing, right? And impressing. But some of us want to be in our yin energy when we are in our personal lives. So that is something that I help people with a lot, especially women who are very high achieving and maybe haven't learned how to sit back and let somebody else take the reins. And that can be very gratifying and relaxing for overachieving women. Oftentimes, we adapt a strategy of overachieving, for example, again, in response to some kind of childhood trauma, in the need to adapt to our circumstances. And then that becomes the bane of our existence later as we grow up, right? And so, again, what these it's helpful to understand masculine and feminine in this context, that when you have childhood trauma, you will experience what's known as ego dystonia, meaning if you're an authentically feminine energy person, you'll be forced into your masculine at a very young age. If you're an authentically masculine person, you'll be thrust into your feminine energy at a very young age. And so the archetypes for that are Peter Pan and Wendy. If you think we go much deeper into the archetypes and the modules, but if you think about Peter Pan and Wendy, Wendy being forced to take on that masculine role of the responsibility, of the caretaking, of the worrying. And then we have Peter, of course, who has never taken on responsibility, who has failed to grow up, who's not able to garner respect or actualize. So that's a brief description of ego dystonia. And that's what happens again as a result of childhood trauma. Okay, so if you didn't understand everything I was saying, that's absolutely fine. I didn't really understand this work at first. But once I started seeing it in practice, it started to sink in a little bit more. And especially if it's your first night, it takes some repetition. I already know some people in this room have been coming for years. So we've had this group on Meetup for like 3 years now, and it's one of the largest relationship groups now. So, yay. Okay, now I'm going to take your questions. You can put a question in the chat. You can raise your hand. I see you, Davida. I'm going, Davida. God, it's hard for me to remember the exact pronunciation. So, let's go with you first. Hi, Davida. Am I saying it right?
Hey, Davida, but you don't
Davida.
forget you can use Rochelle. That's my all my.
Okay. I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna get it right.
That's okay. Just call me Rochelle. Makes
Okay.
my life easier. Okay, my question of the day: expanding my contacts into Nextdoor in the if you're familiar with that online,
Yes.
responses. Yeah, it's a pain because it's the old. Dealing with lots of people to get only one possibility, and as well as plenty of fish. I'm now getting some men that are not lying, that are surprising. You know, it's a thousand no's to get one. No romantic interest on my part. I know it won't work either. They have kids, or they at least they like hiking, but not camping, not some of the other things I need in a man. Can't do you think that you can be platonic friends with a man if you know in your heart it will never be beyond that?
Yes.
The man actually accept it because they I've had issues in the past where they claimed I will, then they get extremely mad at me when I tell them I told you I was dating a variety of other men in various stages of relationships, some for many years. I told you it was being platonic. I told you there's some barriers between us that would never be surmountable. I'd love to have a friend to go hiking. At least that's better.
Okay. I mean, I do think it's possible. I also think that sometimes you're right, men harbor secret hopes regardless and might tire of just being a friend. So, use your instincts. If you want to go hang out with someone as a friend, I say go do it. I mean, Jesus, we have limited time here on Earth. If you like someone, go hang out with them. Who cares if it's a platonic or not? It's like you said, rare enough to find someone that you even like, right?
No, I'm saying it's extremely rare to find someone who'll be serious about hiking,
Right,
who
extremely
has a
rare.
truck, who has experience, who can answer the questions, who have hiking boots. They
Right.
should at least know the different local trails that they've been hiking. I mean, you can have a real
But
discussion
also, I
without
want
lying to
you to
you.
keep an open mind because you
No, no
might
way.
be surprised.
Not dating someone who has kids. I'm not dating someone that, I mean, even if I've tried to date men that don't have a master's degree. It doesn't work. I've tried to date men that aren't extremely health conscious, and then they don't understand why I won't eat the processed food when they make
Okay.
lunch. All
Well, I
kinds of
mean,
reasons don't
then I
work.
think you're basically, you do it at your own risk. I think you're right in saying that there might be some frustration down the line on his part. But I would just, if we can't control other people. If you like the person and you want to go hiking, I say go and hang out with them.
Okay, because I can't tell you how many men are offering me. I know that the woman they would use and say, so what, make them take you an expensive dinner or a trip. And I said, I'm not going to do that. But if they keep urging you and said, I said, okay, sure, I'd like to do something, certain things I'd like to do with an escort or even a,
Yeah,
not
good.
alone.
Yeah, do it.
Okay.
Okay. Elizabeth. Are you seeing this? Unmute.
Hi, Chloe.
Hi, how are you? How can I help you?
So I wanted to ask you, since I'm already in my feminine energy, I have been doing the five flirts, but it's not, it's I'm refining the technique. I'm getting there. So, for right now, what I've been doing, I'm finding that I'm not getting approached, even with the eye contact and, the slight smile. But I don't, I mean, how do I know? I mean, I guess my question is, can I assume that the people I am doing this to are either not available or they're not interested or they're not in their masculine energy?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, or they don't see you, but that I think that would be in the vein of not available.
Okay. I see.
And sometimes it takes a minute. Are you doing the full 5 seconds and the smile at the same time?
Not, oh, I'm working up. Now I'm at 3 seconds.
Okay.
I'm
Okay,
getting
good. You're getting there. And
there.
wait, did you say you're doing the seated one or not?
No, I'm not doing that one yet.
Okay.
But I just do this stuff during my
Right.
daily
That's
routine.
good.
Yeah, that
So
one.
now you got to move up to the 5 seconds and the seated one.
The seated one, yeah. I just have to think out of the box to figure out where I could go because I don't have like a dog or a pet. I just have to figure out like where I could be sitting and reading a book or something,
Yeah, think about where you like the guys that hang out there. Like it could be a hotel bar, it could be the Starbucks across from the firehouse. It could be where a bunch of hot guys go to work out.
Okay.
Like you really can meet someone anywhere, but yeah, be strategic. And I think last time we were talking about it, I mean, you really want to stack the odds in your favor. Go somewhere where it's mostly men and not that many women. I know in LA there's a chess club. and there's like barely any women in there. And I had a couple clients go, and they thought it was good, and not, they met guys. There's just a lot of variety of guys there.
Right. Okay, I see. Like we were talking about the numbers game, you just have to do it more often and find new places, and then eventually, like you'll meet somebody.
Yes, there is a lid for every pot, and you will meet somebody.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You are so welcome, and good work. Good work hanging in there and getting, doing it and everything. Okay. Albert, somebody's having a problem. If you could go into the comments in the meet in Meetup, somebody's not able to get into the meeting.
Will do.
Did you see that? Thanks.
Was that Amy?
Yeah. Is she
Yeah,
here?
no, she, I sent her the link
Okay.
and yes,
Hopefully
it
she'll figure it
was
out. Okay.
yes.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. Dogan. Is that your name? Dogan? Do you want to unmute?
Hi there, I am Dogan, but you can call me Dan.
Dan. Okay. How can I
Yeah.
help you, Dan?
How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
I have very different question for you. First, I apologize about my English. I am very new in the USA and in the English too. I thought it's this events like meet someone or make friends or do something with someone, something like that. I'm new in the town and I have to make some friends, some, I don't
Okay.
know, something to do.
Okay. Well, this meeting is actually not for that. I mean, it's people that have made friends in here, but it's not specifically like a singles meetup to like make friends. So I think maybe go back on Meetup and start looking at like some other events that this is more about. Strategies for dating, strategies for relationships, strategies for communicating. It's not just like a meet and greet. Okay. Patricia.
Hello.
Hi, Patricia. How can I help you?
Hi, thanks for having me. So this is my first time here. First time I'm new to the meetup world. I'm learning
Welcome,
as I go.
welcome.
Thank you, thank you. And so I was in a relationship for 3 years, engaged to be married next year. And last week I broke up with my fiance over politics. I let's see, how do I say this?
Okay.
I am not a Trump supporter, and
Okay.
he and his family are Republicans. And although he says he's not a Trump supporter, I just feel that he is, we have different views politically. And so did I do the right thing? Or were we, I
Okay.
tried to communicate different things with him about like his reasonings for why he supported the ideas, why he supported, specific
Right.
things. And anytime I would question him, it was very, I was met with a lot of, not wanting to give me the answers. And so it just got
There's
to
a
the
lot
point
of
where I couldn't.
defensiveness coming from that camp, right? And a lot of confusion. So, okay. So I'll say two things. So, first of all, religion and politics tend to be some of the most divisive issues between humans in the world. And mostly because these are highly emotional issues, which, as you're accurately relating, a lot of logic doesn't come into play, right? He says he's not a supporter, but he's a Republican, but some of these things, but And you can see, you can almost see in people a lot of times, like the logic turning off and the sentiment taking over. And that just happens a ton in religion and politics. So, generally speaking, I do advise people to avoid those topics if you're not on the same page. Now, you're telling me for you, it's a deal breaker. Do you work in politics?
Work in education,
Okay. Okay.
which is supported. A lot of our federally supported, and because of what's going on with the administration, I just got my laid-off notice after 7 years of working there. So
So it's hitting you
even I
very
thought
hard
maybe
and
telling
very
him,
personal. Yeah.
absolutely, yes. I
And
also
so
have a
was
cleaning
he not
business, which
very
most of
Sorry, go ahead.
right. No, I also have a cleaning business, and most of my employees are Latinas, and it's affecting them as well. It's affecting my business, and yet he was not empathetic at all. Oh, I shouldn't say at all, but it didn't appear, it didn't feel to me sympathetic, and
On
he's
either one, on you losing the job and the business and affecting your business, he wasn't empathetic or sympathetic about either thing.
that's correct. That's the feeling that I got, and
Okay,
his
and how
words
long
were.
have you got? Yeah, go ahead.
We were together for 3 years and
Okay.
planning the wedding for next year.
Okay.
And good man, very I don't have not one thing to say that is not good, except for our political views and how he
Except
sees
for
the world.
this.
I don't know if race plays into this because he's Caucasian and I am Latina. And I think, anytime we brought up specific things on how race plays into a lot of what's going on with the division and the hate, he didn't see it that way.
Right.
As an example, he didn't
Right.
believe that racism exists
Okay.
still.
Right. I
Yeah,
get it. Okay,
yeah.
so let me throw a couple things at you. So first of all, 3 years, there's periods of relationships. So 3 years to break up at 3 years is actually a pretty common time to break up because 3 years is when the romantic projection ends. Okay, so that's when the scales really fall from your eyes and you do see the person for who they are. So there could be some of that happening, right? Because your romantic projection has ended. You're seeing him a little differently. Now, you've said, though, that this is like the only problem that's come up between you.
Yes.
So I'm wondering, is it worth losing a man who I'm assuming good sex life?
Everything was great. That
Okay.
not a one thing that I can tell you that did not I didn't appreciate or that I wasn't impressed with or he I mean,
So
yeah,
you
it
had the
was
chemistry, you had the compatibility, kind of,
yeah.
but you, except for the politics
Communication, yeah.
and the communication. Okay, so there was just that one problem. I mean,
And yeah, the communicate everything, all the your three C's were there except for the communication when it came to politics.
okay.
And
My only
I
concern with that is I'd be willing to completely write it off, but I don't like that he wasn't empathetic towards you or sympathetic, and he didn't cherish your feelings when you expressed to him that you were suffering.
Yes. Yes. Oh my
So
God. Okay. My best
that's.
friend said the same exact thing.
Well, this is in this work what we do. Okay. Now, you're a woman. Doesn't mean you're necessarily feminine energy. About 25 to 15% of the time, it flips. But do you, in your relationship, in your personal relationship, everyone wants both, but which is more important to you? That your partner respect your thoughts or that your partner cherish your feelings?
Both.
Everybody wants both, but we use this rubric for conflicts and awkward situations, and you're in a conflict now. So which is
Let's go
more
with
important?
cherish my feelings.
Okay.
Because I think along
Very
with that
similar.
will come empathy and respect.
So I'm wondering, right, because women need to feel good to do good and men need to do good to feel good. Okay. So for a man, if you respect his thoughts, he feels cherished. Okay. Whereas with a woman, if you cherish her feelings, she experiences respect.
Yeah, wow.
Okay. So that's how this works. So I'm just thinking, I wonder if when you brought up your situation, did if you bring, I have a rubric that I use called the Stroke and Stand. It's in my first book. And it's for conflicts or, awkward situations. And I'm just wondering if you approached your problem from a feelings perspective, meaning you led with your feelings and tried to solicit his thoughts, you may have gotten a better result. So if you framed your layoff as another problem with this dumb administration, then I see that as heading into a conflict with your guy. But if you frame your layoff as, I'm really upset about something, I want to talk to you about it, is now a convenient time? It's about what happened at work today. And he's like, yeah, okay, now's a convenient time. And you said, thank you. You always make me feel better. You give him a stroke. That's the part of the stroke and stand. That's the stroke. You always make me feel better. You praise him to some degree. And you say, but today I'm feeling really bad because I got laid off. And, I just wonder if if he didn't think his ideas were being challenged, if he would be more comforting and cherishing of you.
Absolutely. And I think that I'm the one that needs lessons on communication because well, there are certain topics that trigger me, and his responses to those triggering topics are
Like
it
exactly
blows me
what
up.
you don't want to hear.
Yes.
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 And so this is, yes, this is something men do on accident sometimes. When you're talking to them and they realize they've walked into a trigger, they start doubling down on it instead of just going, oh shit, I'm wrong. But a lot of times they are on your side, but they're not expressing it right. And so, because women often carry the spiritual energy of the relationship, a lot of times if a woman changes the way she approaches it, he'll change too. He'll follow your lead. So, if I have, let's say I have a couple that's having problems. If I talk to the woman only, sometimes I don't need to talk to the man. But if I talk to the man only, I will usually also have to talk to the woman. So, anyways, I'm just telling you, if you work on your communication stuff, he may fall in line. To me, from what you're saying, if he's generally cherishing of your feelings, I have another client who's in your exact same shoes, where she is so against what is happening in the government now, and her husband is a supporter. And they did split up for a while. Now they're back together and they've just decided not to talk about it. And she decided he was over 51% valuable. If they're over 51% valuable, we keep them. Because nobody's perfect.
I understand that there's no one and no relationships are perfect, and there are different things that affect, whether or not you should stay in it, whether we were married or whatnot, but it's to my core. It
Yeah, I mean, for
hurts me.
you, she's passionate about it, but for her ideas are a little bit more malleable. You know what I'm saying? They're not as important to her. She can flip-flop positions sometimes. I'm just telling you this as somebody who's worked with her, has known her for a long time. So I don't want to say she's not as principled as what you're saying, but it's not as important. So you have to know for you. Only you can answer that. If you can live with it, can you live with that? Can you avoid that topic? And I would give yourself 8 weeks to think about it. 8 weeks is a typical period of rumination between the heart and the head. So think
In the
about it
mean,
for what?
I'm sorry, in the meantime, do I keep in touch with his 10-year-old son who I've developed a very close relationship with, or do I just not communicate at all? Either way, I'm broken because I'm not going to be able to see the son.
Right. I would try to be a steady presence in a
Okay.
way, but not do too much. You know, so
Okay.
don't just ghost the son.
Okay.
Say you're thinking about some things right now, blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever.
Okay, good. I was just
Don't go
thinking,
too
like,
into
for.
details. Kids can't understand adult dynamics. He's not going to
Yeah, no.
understand.
I wouldn't offer anything, but I was thinking maybe send him an Easter card because they live an hour and a half away from where I live. And I send him an
Yes,
Easter,
that's
like, send him
absolutely
something in
appropriate.
handwriting.
Yes.
Okay, all right, great. Thank you.
That's a ritual stroke. You can do that. And the only other thing I would say is if you're really on the fence, you can do a blind study. So that means that during the 8 weeks that you're ruminating, every time you think that you want to be with him, you put a circle on a piece of paper and you put it in an opaque box. And every time you think about him and you think, absolutely not, I can't be with someone who believes those things and what he thinks, then you put an X on a piece of paper and you put it in a box. And then after that 8 weeks, you take that out and you see, you'll have data to see, what did I think about during this time? How did I
Okay.
feel? Okay. So
Okay.
try some of those things. Let me know how it goes. I love to hear your guys' updates because using these tools out in the world, you know, everybody else loves to hear it too, because then it just sinks in deeper. You learn more. There's a ton of nuances. You know, I can just sit here describing things, but is when you guys go do them and then have feedback, everybody learns. So yeah, let me know how it goes.
Well, thank you so much, Glory. I appreciate it.
You are so welcome. Yeah, that was a really good question. And that's something that's coming up for people. Okay. Phoenix. Phoenix?
Hi, Chloe.
Hi,
Yeah.
welcome. How can I help you?
This is my first time. I was going to ask you a whole different line of questioning about paralysis of choice and modern dating and technology and brave new world. But let me put that aside for now, just because the previous speaker just, she really hit a vein. I was a Bernie supporter who went to Trump in 2016, and I voted for him in 2020 and 24, and I was divorced in 2018, like a lot of other men. And I think, a minor factor in that divorce, it wasn't the major factor, was my switching from Bernie to Trump. But, I want to point out, and I think you were a little bit unfair, a little bit, in your prior comments when you were talking to Patricia. Because I don't know if it's a fair and open space. When Trump won the election, this current election, by 2 to 3 million plurality, 58% of American men voters voted for him, as
Okay.
opposed to.
Phoenix, I'm just gonna stop you there because I don't want to have a political discussion. And if you interpreted that discussion with Patricia as a political discussion, I understand that perhaps that you misunderstood that, but that wasn't the intent. I very specifically tried to steer away from politics, and we don't talk politics and religion in this group. I know there's a ton of meetup groups that you can talk politics and religion, but for the purposes of this group, we're talking more about relationships and other questions of communication and conflict and relating more than politics. So, do you have a question that isn't political, or do you want to just listen now?
Okay. All right. Here's the non-political question.
Okay.
In a world where, men are focused on problem solving, on data, on analysis, and women are focused on emotions and equality and empathy and sympathy. And in a country that is struggling over these issues in the political sphere and in the media sphere, how do you get people to talk honestly about those issues and to communicate, especially the ones who are trying to have relationships, and basically have a dialogue without sending up barriers to communication?
Okay.
You know, but something that's so fundamental.
Right. Okay. So, okay. First of all, for some people, it's not fundamental, right? Some people don't really care about religion and politics that much. So it's not a huge issue for some people. If you use the tools of the stroke and stand, so that means you're speaking to each other, you're negotiating with love, you're speaking with respect, you can absolutely express your opinion and you can have a different opinion from your partner. But to go back and forth and to try to convince the other person is generally wrongheaded. 70% of fights between long-term, long-standing couples are never resolved. What matters more than the actual issue is how you talk about the issue. So what happens a lot with politics and with religion when you're talking about them is, you're right, you get very passionate and it becomes very personal, and people start using should on other people and you on other people. And a lot of this work is about making I statements and not shoulding on other people and not shaming other people for their beliefs. Okay. And so when you're discussing these things, you just need to make sure that if you guys aren't on the same page, that it's maybe not fruitful to continue going back and forth. Go back and forth once or twice, okay? But after that, then you're just stoking a fight. And for the most part, you guys are probably misunderstanding each other, okay? If you care about one another, your values may not be as far off as some of these conversations may lead you to believe. The problem with politics and religion, again, is that the feelings and the logic get conflated. And so very often we have people saying, well, I feel like, and they're expressing an idea and they're not expressing a feeling. And they're saying things, making blanket statements instead of making I statements and owning just the statement for themselves. They're saying, you know, even when you were talking, you're like, well, 80% of men and da 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 da. Just that happens a lot, by the way. A lot of men do that in dating, like, they'll come in this group, or I'll speak to the, you know, sometimes men will take the approach of, well, there's this chronic problem with women, and women do it too. You know, there's this chronic problem with men. And I just would caution you against doing something like that. We're just talking in this group about you, about what you want to accomplish, what you're trying to get, what kind of relationship you want to be in. There's no real like right or wrong. There's no like convincing somebody. It's always a negotiation. So I don't stand on any moral high ground with any of it, but there's no moral assessment. I would just, you know, I think that when we men and women get into zones where they're like, well, all women talk this way and men talk this way, if that's truly what you want to talk about, then you probably, that's not going to align with being in a relationship, basically. So that's my statement on politics. Okay. Yulia, do you have a question? Yulia?
Yeah, I wrote you a message right now.
Thank you so much. I see. Okay. Thank you so much for everything. I will have to come back and listen because I'm running out of time. Okay.
Any good words?
Thank you. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you so much. I was just listening a little bit to what you were saying, and I just wrote you that because I didn't want to just miss the meeting, but I really want to come back and hear everything. And thank you so much. I just didn't want to like reserve a spot and not say anything or not come up. So I just want to
Oh,
say
no
thank you.
worries. No worries.
Yeah, I'll be back.
You
Thank
are
you.
so welcome. And, I'm here every Thursday. This is a free group, so I sometimes don't get to every question, and we can't get into super, we can't drill down into tons of details, right? Because we're just meeting people. And just getting to know this work. But it's a good setup for building a community, for learning this work, for learning the basics about it. And then if you want to dive deeper, you can. Okay. Does anybody else have a question or a comment? Again, thank you, Albert, for putting my credentials in here. You guys can schedule a private. You can sign up for one of the modules if you want. Those are ongoing, and then some of them are live. I also put up original content every day on TikTok and Instagram. Hi, Alice.
I, since nobody else asked a question, I'm going
Yes,
to just
welcome back. Shoot.
ask a dumb question.
Okay.
I noticed that I have been on your program for a long time, right? I don't have problem to see people and they're interested in me. However, I have problem to be interested in other men. I don't know how long I need to take to be able to be another man that I'm interested in. It's
What do you
over a
mean?
year and a half. I mean, I'm open up to dating, to see people, but on the app, I don't see anyone that I'm interested in. The conversation is dry, and when I go to the store or go out, I don't see any men that I think is
You're just not meeting
attractive.
anyone that you like right now.
That's right.
Okay.
How
Yeah.
long does it take to
I
meet
hear
someone I
you.
like?
How long have you been single?
A year and a half.
Okay.
I saw one person that he's interested in me. I have chemistry, however, he has not divorced. So that basically just
Right. Okay. So
eliminated him.
that's been kind of a distraction that's not really helping in a way, right? Because that's taking up a part of your space and a part of your mind and your heart. And he.
Well, but I know he's not available, so I'm trying to not to. I don't even see him that often, maybe
Good. Okay,
once
good.
every 6 months,
Okay,
which is
are
not.
you doing the flirting? Are you doing the five flirts?
I haven't seen anyone I want to flirt with.
Okay. Maybe break out and try some new activities that you haven't done before, or try a different neighborhood.
My different neighborhood, huh?
Yeah, for so for
Well, I have to work every day, so I don't even know what time, where I should go to
Okay, so
try
earlier, I
things.
think it was before you came in, but think about where guys go, okay? And maybe like stack the deck in your favor. Like we were talking, if you wanted to meet men, you might go to a coffee shop near a fire station or a chess club. Or if you wanted to meet women, you might go to a cafe near a yoga sh no, yoga class, or even go into a sound bath, or so think about it, give it a little bit of thought, and
I
just
have been to hiking, traveling, gym. However, in the gym, everyone just put on a headphone
yeah, I
and
don't know about the
exercise.
gym is kind of like medium, because it's like, yeah, there's a chance in the gym, but as you said, a lot of people are like really obsessed and like staring at themselves in the mirror, so it can be hard to penetrate.
Yeah, and firefighter and police, I've heard that their schedule is not good and they usually have very high affair rates.
Right, that's true. That's true. Well, think about the kind of men that you like and where they would maybe be hanging out, I don't, hit a different happy hour. We had a guy in here before who loved the karaoke stuff. Dancing and singing is always a good bet, and then part of it is just time. Sometimes it just takes
Dancing and singing, I
time.
thought about that because those are interact with other women a lot. I wonder whether that will cause some chaos or affair in the future. So I was not sure about that either.
About what?
About meeting a man that like dancing and singing in the
Oh,
karaoke
I
with
wouldn't worry about
every
that. I mean, you're kind of coming up with too many like try to be a little bit more open-minded. Doesn't mean that
Exactly.
every cop is a cheater just because they have high cheat rates. You know what I'm saying? Something to keep in mind, but don't let it like
Yeah,
if you
if
like
I
a
see
man in
someone I want.
uniform, you should still go for it. You know what I'm saying? It's just like but yeah, keep it in mind, I've heard different
I
things.
saw a couple of people that look cute, however, I figure out later because I'm very alert as well, but I find out and believe they are scammers online dating. So either they are not attractive or they are attractive but scammers. So I haven't seen anyone in real life that's attractive that likes you or I have potential chance to
Right.
date. It's
Well, it's
just
just gonna
how
take
long
more
will it
time.
take?
Yeah, I mean, you just gotta hang in there, and focus on use this time to really focus on you, to do yours, to take care of yourself, to cherish your own feelings when you don't have a man to do it for you.
I do a lot of things alone. And I know I shouldn't be hurry, but also think life is short. So I just in a
I
dilemma
know it's so frustrating, but this is one of the things we just can't control.
true.
Timing is under God's purview, right? Like, that's all we can do. You just do your work, you put it out there, you keep making an effort, it will work. It always works.
If there's a person have several times we were willing to meet up but always have things come up to stop and cancel it, does that
Now
mean that
that's a red
means
flag. That's a real red flag. Yes.
okay. Even if it's true, that just means maybe God is trying to separate us.
Well, I
It's
mean, I
not
don't
a
know.
good.
If you have the patience for that, do it. But you only ultimately know, you only know how much you love yourself or anyone else by the commitments you're willing to make and keep. And if somebody can't keep commitments to you, it's like, where do you start? So that's my position on that. Okay.
Well,
Thank
okay,
you
thank
for
you.
sharing. Thank you for your question. Okay. KJ. Are you there, KJ? One more question. Maybe you put it in the chat. Let's see. Okay, I see this. Elizabeth, are there behaviors you can tell upfront if a man would be in his masculine energy, for example, looking to see if he is passive in his behavior or not? Yes. So there are a few things as you've been coming here for a while. As you get to know this work a little more, you'll get to see some other things. But masculine men will be eager to take control of the date. Masculine men will be cherishing of your feelings, right? So, for example, we had this question recently. Somebody said that they went on a date and the guy was like, well, what do you bring to the table, right? That would be more of a feminine concern because a feminine person is looking to be taken care of, right? So leading with feelings, wanting to be taken care of. These are some signs of a feminine. Being masculine is wanting to take care of and actually exhibiting that behavior. Okay. KJ, one more chance? No? Your hand was up. Okay, well, I will wrap it up. If you guys have more questions, you can reach out to me during the week. And if not, I will see you back here. I also do private sessions and teach this work in even smaller groups. So you can check those out as well at the module packages link. And if I don't hear from you, then I will see you back here next week. Thanks for coming.